Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
Let's go ahead and get started on this thing. If you're just joining me, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. This is a message that in my devotional time today, I put this together, but it was actually Sunday morning while I was in church myself. This message was kind of dropped in my heart. The title of it was, and then today again, I put this together, and I believe this is going to be a message that I believe it's going to be a blessing to a lot of individuals. And I'm going to talk about lying in the lap of seduction. Lying in the lap of seduction. Again, I want to thank our YouTube audience and our Facebook audience for jumping on here whenever, whether it's live or it's the rebroadcast of this on YouTube or the rebroadcast on Facebook. Nevertheless, we appreciate you taking the time out and coming on here and joining us. All right, so guys, again, we're going to be talking about lying in the lap of seduction. Some of you will probably already know just from the title alone where I'm going to go with this, but I may get into some stuff that maybe you've not seen or maybe you have, and this will kind of iron sharpen iron here a little bit. We're going to be going through Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. We're going to be taking some segments out of this. We're going to talk about Samson. And we're going to talk about a progression in Samson's life, how it reflects to us and can relate to us, and how Samson made some choices in his life that you and I do not want to make the same choices and the same mistakes, because we will ultimately, inevitably, end up in the same situation. So here we go, Judges chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 2, now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, quote, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine. Now, this is very important when we get into this. Listen to this. The angel of the Lord speaks to the wife of Manoah and says, now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine, nor similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So let's spring forward here. Again, this is in Judges chapter 13. We're going to go down here to verse 7, and it says, and he said to me, quote, behold, and she's recalling this experience where this angel of the Lord spoke to her, and she said, and she's saying that the angel of the Lord spoke to her and said, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor similar drink or strong drink, rather, nor eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God. In other words, he'll be consecrated to God, set apart from the womb to the day of his death. So we fast forward to verse 13. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, quote, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor will she drink wine or similar drink or anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Now you say, well, Pastor, why are you reading this over and over again? Because Jesus said to his disciples, and again I say unto you, and again I say unto you, because I want to get this in your spirit when we move forward, okay? So let's recap a few things real quick before we move forward. Number one, Samson was dedicated to the Lord before he was even born and before he was ever delivered, okay? Before he ever came into this world, he was consecrated, set apart, and dedicated to the Lord for the work of the Lord, and he had an assignment from the Lord. Does everybody get that? That's powerful. Come on. Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and says, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you as a prophet. The same goes with John the Baptist. The same goes with Jesus, our Messiah. Okay, number two, he was dedicated as a Nazarite. And again, this means he was not permitted to drink wine. He was not permitted to eat anything unclean or even touch anything unclean, and not to even go near a vineyard. I don't have time to expound on a Nazarite vow. You guys can study that in your own time. Number three, watch this. His birth was prophesied and came forth by a supernatural experience by an angel of the Lord. How many believe that if an angel of God showed up in your living room and told you that you were going to have a child and it was going to do a mighty work for God and actually deliver his people from bondage and from captivity, how many believes that you would probably believe that the work of the Lord was going to be accomplished? I know for me, I didn't have a visitation from an angel of God, but I did have a word from God 5 years prior to my firstborn son's birth. But one day I was studying the life of Elijah the prophet, and the Lord spoke to me in my own devotional time and said, your first child shall be a male. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me that I was to name him Elijah. So for 5 years, my wife and I prepared to have a boy. We bought boy clothes. We bought everything that had the association with a boy. And all of our friends, some of them thought that we were nuts, and others thought that, you know, praise God, they believed that I heard from God. Well, fast forward 5 years later, a week before my wife announced to me that she was pregnant, I had a dream, and in the dream I saw a little boy about 2 feet tall come up to me. He had blonde hair and blue eyes in the dream, and I knew that it was my firstborn son that the Lord spoke to me 5 years prior that he was going to come forth. So needless to say, when my wife came a week later and said, "I've got news," and she announced to me that she was pregnant, and then I told her, "Well, the Lord showed me him in a dream." And guys, I wish I had the picture. I'd show it to you, but right around 2 years of age, my son had blonde hair and he had blue eyes. Right before his two year birthday, he had blonde hair. It's probably about a year and a half years old. He had blonde hair and blue eyes and looked like his mother. But as time went on, he ended up getting brown hair and green eyes. But nevertheless, he was exactly the way I saw him in the dream. So again, we're talking about Samson here, dedicated to the Lord before he was born by his parents. He was dedicated as a Nazarite, and it came through a supernatural experience by God through an angel. Okay, now let's fast forward to Judges chapter 14. Now we're going to go forward. Samson is born. He's growing into a young man. He's growing in the spirit knowledge of the Lord and strength and so on and so forth. And then we see in Judges chapter 14. Now Samson, watch this. Went down to Timnah and saw a woman of the daughters of the Philistines. Now watch what it says. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, quote, "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife." And then his father and mother said to him, quote, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" So watch this. So here we go right off the bat. We see a crucial mistake that Samson made. He was looking for a wife in the wrong place. Come on, somebody. Even his parents said, "Why are you going over here to the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson's response to his father said, quote, "Get her for me, for she pleases me." Notice Samson's motivation was not what pleased God, but what pleased him. Let me say that again. Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Now let's read on the rest of this. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now I'm going to mess up some people right here. Now, was it of the will of God for Samson to be going into the Philistines to look for a wife? Now you say, well, hold on. Didn't it say in verse 4 that his mother and father did not know it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines? But watch this. From Samson's own testimony, you got to really clean out your ears and listen to me for a second. His motivation, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. His motivation was, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But when he was questioned for the motive, he said, I'm going down because I'm going to go down there and take the victory for the Philistines. So you say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm going to try to tell you something. Samson began looking for a spouse in the wrong places with the wrong motives, thinking he had good intentions. Let me say that again. Samson began looking for a spouse in the wrong places, among the wrong people, and the wrong crowd, with the wrong motives, thinking he had good intentions. Now, look, guys, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, as one who's counseled people, Christians make this vital mistake all the time. Watch this. Listen to me. They claim they found the perfect man. Oh, pastor, listen, I found the perfect man, or I found the perfect woman. And then I asked them, well, do they know the Lord? Well, no, they're not really saved. Okay. Or watch this, or they're not, you know, they're unequally yoked with me because I'm a Christian and they're a Catholic, or I'm a Christian and they're a Muslim, or I come from this background and they come from that background. So, I'm going to give you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:14. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? But I'm going to take a little bit farther, because if you really study out this passage of what it actually means to be unequally yoked, it doesn't just mean a believer and an unbeliever. That's like a duh. That's like a no-brainer, right? But you'd be surprised. People don't even get that, because I hear them say this all the time. Well, brother, listen, or, oh, pastor, I know they're not saved, but they've got a good heart and they have good intentions. And after all, I know I can get them saved, and I know I can get them to come to church with me. And I know if I can get them to come to church with me long enough, then they'll go down there to the altar and they'll give their heart to the Lord. And you just don't know, brother, they're a good person. Listen, I hear that stuff all the time.
And then
they go and get married. They reject counsel. They reject wisdom. They reject, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, their safety. They reject all that. They go and do, oh, come on. They go and do what pleases them and what makes them well. But later on down the road, when it all falls apart, they get mad at God. They fall out on God. They fall out on the church. They get mad at the preacher. They get mad at any of the gospel. And then they blame it all on everybody else and not themselves. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I'm trying to tell you, everybody knows about Samson laying in the lap of Delilah. And we're going to get there. But I'm going to try to show you that before you ever get seduced in the lap of seduction, oh, Holy Spirit, help me to get this across tonight. I'm trying to tell you, people don't just fall in the lap of adultery. I hear that, people say that all the time. Well, brother, what happened? Oh, brother, you don't understand. It just happened. We just fell into adultery, or we just fell into infidelity, or we just slept together, or I just had an affair at work. Oh, baloney. No. Just like Samson, before you ever ended up with your head in Delilah's lap, there was key steps that led you to the progression of that. Okay? Number one, Samson was looking in the wrong places with the wrong motives. And as a result of that, watch this. Watch what happens. Judges 14, let's move on. Judges 14, 5 and 6. So Samson, despite the counsel of his own parents, says, no, I'm going to do what's good for me, and it pleases me, and it's well for me. So Judges 14, 5 and 6. So Samson went down to Timnah. Where is this at? Among the Philistines, with his father and mother, and came. So he says, I'm going to just take them with me. So here's his mother and father, and they obviously capitulated with this, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Well, now stop. Hold on, this joker's not even supposed to be in a vineyard, because he's a Nazirite. Remember? He's not supposed to be around strong drink. He's not supposed to be around wine. And he's not even permitted to be in a vineyard. So, number one, he's going into the wrong place, messing with the wrong people, and getting yoked with the wrong type of person. But now on his way to this, he's ended up in a vineyard. Now watch this. Now to his surprise, Judges 14, it says a young lion came roaring against him. Oh, now brother, that was the devil coming against him. No, it wasn't. No. Because again, Samson was a Nazarite. He had no business in the location of the Philistines, number one. Number two, he ain't supposed to be in a vineyard. So this lion showing up roaring against him was sent by God to try to get him back to his senses and get out of the danger zone. Okay? But the Spirit of the Lord came on him and he tore the lion apart. And one had torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what had been done. Okay? So watch this. I'm going to reiterate this. First of all, Samson had no business, again, being around a vineyard. As a Nazarite, they were not permitted to be doing this. Secondly, the lion was sent by the Lord to get his attention and try to deter him from continuing in his path. Oh, come on. Who am I talking to tonight? How many of us, we continue to pursue the wrong path, knowing that the Lord is not pleased with our decisions and our choices? And many times, if we actually pay attention, he will send something or someone in our path. Come on. He sent a lion in Samson's path to try to get him out of the vineyard. So the Lord, here we are. We're no different. We're in the wrong place, messing with the wrong people, messing with the wrong thing. And God sends someone or something in our path to give us a wake-up call and a warning to turn us around and to get us back on track. Come on. Listen, God spoke to a donkey and turned that donkey around and looked at Balaam and he rebuked the prophet. If he spoke through a donkey, come on. He had Jonah thrown out of a boat and put into the belly of a whale to get his attention. Come on. It took a rooster to crow three times before Peter repented. Come on. Do I got to go on? He had to speak to a burning bush in the middle of a wilderness to get Moses' attention. Listen, I don't know what God's got to do. He may not have to show up in a burning bush. He may not have to throw you out of a boat and go to a belly of a well. And he may not have to speak to you through a talking donkey or a rooster crowing to get you to repent. But listen, if he's got to touch you in your money, if he's got to touch you at your job, if he's got what, I don't know how he's going to get your attention. But if you are being a dummy and a fool and going off in the wrong direction, then God will send all his resources to get you because he loves you that much, friend. He loves you so much that he doesn't want you to shipwreck your faith. He doesn't want you doing something stupid. He doesn't want you wrecking your family. He doesn't want you wrecking your marriage. He doesn't want you wrecking your business. He doesn't want you destroying your church, pastor. He doesn't want you destroying your ministry, evangelist. He doesn't want you doing what could destroy your life. So in this case, he sent the lion, but Samson, somebody hit it right on the nail. I believe it was his pride. His pride got in the way, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord come on. He just rips this deterrent out of the way. Come on, this is what we do. The Lord sends us all kinds of warnings, and we just keep suppressing it. We keep ignoring it. Come on, Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a him. And my Bible says that Holy Spirit can be grieved, he can be vexed, and he can be quenched. Oh, let me say that again. Holy Spirit, whom the Lord has sent to live in us and through us, is our moral compass. He exhorts us. He edifies us. He equips us. When we know not what we ought to pray, he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he speaks the heart of the Father. But listen, through you and I's disobedience and through doing our own thing and what we want to do, we can quench him. We can vex him. And we can quench him. We can vex him. And we can grieve him because he is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a hymn of God. Come on, that's your Bible. Okay? So number one, Samson is looking in the wrong places for the wrong people, trying to get hitched up with the wrong girl. Number two, the Lord is sending a warning to him because he's in a vineyard where he has no business at. Listen, I'm going to preach right here whether you like it or not. If you're a blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, listen, unless you're witnessing, you don't have any business at a bar. You don't have a business at the club on Friday night. You don't have any business being at the strip club. Come on, I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. And Samson didn't have any business down there at the vineyard. Okay, let's move on. I got to get on this, guys, or we're not going to get through this. Judges 14, 7 and 8. We're going to fast forward. And then he went down and talked with the woman. And she pleased Samson well. Oh, I bet she did, brother. After some time, because sin is fun for a season. And when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, swarms of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. Now you would think this guy would know he was a Nazirite, that he was not permitted to touch any dead thing. No. But instead, verse 9, it says, and he took some of the honey in his hands and went along eating. Come on, he's reaching into a carcass of a lion and eating honey. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them. And they also ate of it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion. Whew. Now you say, what does this represent, brother? Watch this. Here we have yet another breach. Are you getting this? Of Samson's covenant with God. He was trying to get honey out of a dead carcass of a lion. Samson, again, was not permitted to touch anything dead. Here's the valuable lesson here for us. And that is, don't be foolish enough to believe, you ready? That we can obtain anything sweet from that which is dead. Oh, let me say that again. See, it is foolish for me to believe that I can get anything sweet out of something that's dead. And let me make this real simple for you. You can't expect God's blessings to flow in your life while you're still playing around and messing around and associating with dead things. You can't continue being yoked with old, dead yokes of friendships, old, dead lifestyles, old, dead habits. When you said yes to him, those things became dead. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So we then discover that after this, now watch this, I got to elaborate this real quick. So we see three breaches. Number one, he went to the wrong place, messing with the wrong people. Number two, the Lord tried to send him a warning because he was in a vineyard where he shouldn't have been around, and he ignored the warning. Then number three, he's trying to get something sweet out of something dead. As a result of these three violations, these three breaches, if you would, of his covenant, it ended up, you study it out. I'm not going to read all this, guys, for sake of time. Go read Judges. I want to encourage you to do some homework on this. Go read Judges chapter 14. Read the whole chapter of chapter 14. Read Judges chapter 15. As a result of these three breaches, okay, his walk with God began to deteriorate, and it resulted in constant turmoil and confrontations, and it actually ended up costing him the life of his wife. Read it. See, we wonder why as believers. Now listen, if you're listening to me and you're a believer, and there's constant turmoil. Come on, do I got to witness somebody? You know, Have you ever met somebody, and even though they're listen, they have a covenant with God, they love God, they go to church, they read their Bible, but it seems like they're in constant turmoil, constant drama, come on, constant fights, constant confrontations in their marriage, with their family, with the church leaders, with their pastor, with people. People are getting hurt. They're always borrowing money from people, never paying it back. I mean, it's just constant drama. Could it be possible if they begin to reevaluate and do a self-examination that they've been doing some of the things that Samson was guilty of? They've been trying to get sweet things out of dead things, or perhaps they're mingling with people that they shouldn't be mingling with, in the wrong places, the wrong crowds. Come on, somebody. And they're in the wrong path. And as a result, see, we always think that our lifestyle is not going to hurt anyone else. But I showed you on my last message how Jonah began to run from the presence of God, run from the call of God, and it ended up shaking everybody up around him. Not just Jonah, but it affected everybody else in his household. Listen, friend, I don't know who I'm talking to. If you're the head priest of your home, if you're the husband, you're the wife, whatever the case may be, whenever you begin to breach these things in your walk with God, it's not only affecting you, it's affecting your children, it's affecting your spouse, it's affecting your workplace, it's affecting everything around you. So watch this. Then he, again, now, and here's the sad part, guys. When I was studying this today, I mean, my heart began to break for Samson and for people that can relate to this. As a result of this, again, constant turmoil, confrontations, somebody lost their life, and then he became captured. It ends up being captivity. Okay? And then we fast forward, your Bible says he even ended up having sex with a harlot. And then all this, look at this. See, we always, when you hear about Samson, you're like, oh yeah, Samson's downfall was he laid his head in the lap of Delilah and she seduced him. And they don't ever preach on all the stuff I just talked about. So again, let's talk about the steps of progression that got him to this. It just, listen, nobody, oh, can I preach right here? If you don't mind, I'm going to preach for just a second on this. Listen, any person I've ever met, and you're looking at somebody, I believe in backsliding. Yes, I know. There's people out there that don't teach and preach and believe that you can backslide as a Christian, because they say if you backslid, you were never saved to begin with. But I don't believe that, and I don't have time to elaborate on that. It would take me 2 hours to preach on a message of that. But I believe that every individual that ever turns from God, backslides on God, they lose the fire, lose the passion, lose their red hot love affair with Jesus. It did not happen overnight. They didn't wake. Listen, they never say, you know what, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, get out of bed, and I'm going to willfully choose not to go to church, not to pray, not to read my Bible, and not to associate with other believers. It never happens like that. What happens is they're going through all this mess. They begin to lower their standard. They begin to lay their head in these progressive things that are sucking the anointing out. They're lowering their standards. They're breaching things in their life and breaching their covenant with God. Come on, that Paul said it like this: do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So it's a progress. Listen, it's like a house. You know, I don't. You know, when they're building a house in your neighborhood, you drive through there week after week and you see the progression of the building of the house. You see the foundation being laid, then you see bricks being laid, and then you see the roof being put on, and then you see the windows being put in, and then you see this and you see that. You don't wake up the next morning and bam, there's a house put up. This is how people fall from God. It's brick after brick after brick. It's this after this after this, and then it builds to the momentum of this. And so we said that to get to this. So keep in mind all this stuff with Samson's life. And then we get all the way to Judges chapter 16, where the nail in the coffin comes. Okay, here it is. Notice that Delilah shows up at the opportune time in Samson's life. After all this has happened, he's become weak. No doubt he's becoming tired. He's becoming vexed, and I can prove that in just a second. The enemy will always bring opportunities of seduction to cause you to lose your anointing at opportune times, and shut down your capability to hear from God. guys, that's so deep right there. Now listen, let me get a drink of water real quick. Let me give you the definition of seduction. The word seduction comes from the root word to seduce. And it means, I'm going to give you three primary meanings. Number one is to persuade to disobedience or disloyalty. My Lord. Number two, to lead astray, usually by persuasion or false promises. Number three is to lure away slowly from truth to error. Now, when I read that last one, it's in the Greek context of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 1 and 2. Now listen what this says. Paul speaking, here's what he says. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressively says, that's a strong word. The Holy Spirit expressively says that in the latter times or the end times, come on, do you believe we're in the end times? Some will depart from the faith. Now, why are they departing from the faith? For all the people that don't believe you can backslide, I've said this over and over again, you can't depart from something unless you were first a part of something. Come on, that's worth the whole message right there. You can't depart from something unless you were first apart from something. But the Bible says, the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to. In other words, they embrace, they cleave to, or they give heed to seducing spirits. There it is. And doctrines of demons. Whew. So this is what's happening. See, this is what happened to Samson. Holy Spirit, come on. Help me get this across. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. When we begin to make the little compromises, lower the standard just a little bit. Oh, now, preacher, listen. It's okay for me to do a little bit of that, or it's okay for me to go over here on occasions. It's okay for me to look at this. After all, I'm not doing the real thing. I'm just, it's okay. Just because you're not on a diet don't mean you can't look at the menu. Listen, I've heard all those lies from the devil, and that's what the devil wants to convince you. Okay? But these little compromises, these little foxes that spoil the vine, always listen to me. Write this down if you've got to. These little compromises will always lead to failure, falls, shipwrecks every time. Okay? Judges 16, 15 through 22. So here's Delilah. And then she said to him, how can you say? So the Philistines are in cahoots with Delilah, and they're saying, let us know the secret to Samson's strength. What's his weakness? See, the enemy knows your weakness, friends. Listen, God knows your strength, but the devil knows your weakness. And so she says, how can you say? And so she keeps coming to him and saying, what's your weakness? And he keeps trying to blow her off because he don't really want to tell her. But watch this. And then he said, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Oh, that sounds real good, don't it? Sounds real spiritual. You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, you ready? When she pestered him daily, I believe the King James says she vexed him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Come on, the same thing it said about righteous Lot. The Bible says, and righteous Lot was vexed daily by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked in Sodom and Gomorrah. So the enemy was vexing him through words of seduction. Whew. Come on, go read the book of Proverbs, and it talks about this. There's two passages in Proverbs. Go do some homework on this. And it talks about seduction. It talks about adultery. It talks about lust. And there's a progression of this. Verse 17, that he told, and then as a result of this, so again, he was vexed and pressed, and then he spills the beans. And he says to her, quote, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So did you see this? He breached, and then this was the final breach. This is scary stuff, guys, because what's the result of this? And with Delilah, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, quote, come up once more, for he has told me all of his heart. See, it was all a lie. It was a scam. So the lords of the Philistines came to her and brought the money in their hand. Come on, it was a payoff. Come on, the devil will always present a payoff, won't he? He'll make it look good. He'll make it sound good. He'll make it look good. But the Bible says, what profit is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? And Bible says in verse 19, and then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. Come on. I could really expound on that, but I won't. And called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to torment him. And his strength left him. And she said, quote, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, now listen to what Samson said, quote, I will go out as I've always done at other times, and I'll just shake myself free. In other words, he'll say, I'm just going to go out here and shake myself, and the anointing of the Lord will come on me, and everything's going to be all right, and I'll get the victory. But the Bible says, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Guys, I'm telling you, this is scary stuff. And then the Philistines took him, and as a result of him losing the presence of God, losing the anointing of God, breaching his covenant with God, the Bible says that the Philistines plucked out his eyes, and then they took him to Gaza. They bound him with fetters and they put him on a grinder, and he was going round and round. So as a result, at the final conclusion to all this, guys, is Samson ended up with losing his vision, and he was bound and he was going round and round. Let me elaborate on this. So Samson laid his head in the lap of compromise and was vexed and seduced. Number two, as a result, he lost his strength, lost his anointing, and lost his favor with God. Number three, Samson, as a result of this, he was left with torment. Come on, Saul. Same thing happened with King Saul. He started out good. He was with God. He was the chosen of God. But then he began to become rebellious. He began to be full of pride. He allowed resentment and jealousy to enter his heart. And as a result, he opened himself up to 7 tormenting devils. Read it in your Bible. Okay. And then last but not least, it says in all of this, all of this opened the door for the enemy to bring Samson into captivity, resulting in Samson being blind, bound, and going around in circles. Okay, now watch this. I'm almost done, guys. I know I'm going a little bit long tonight, but I believe this is a good teaching. Somebody needs to hear this. Judges 16, 23 and 25. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, quote, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. Listen, do you know that the enemy wants to make you and he wants to make me one of his trophies? Listen, there is nothing that pleases Satan better than having a Christian who was on fire for God, who was doing the work of the kingdom, winning souls, shaking regions, shaking the very gates of hell, and winning and doing the mighty works of God. There is nothing more pleasing to Satan than for him to see one of the mighty men of valor fall. And fall into this very trap so that he can be a trophy on Satan's shelf. And this is what's happening right here. The Philistines are gathered around and they're saying, look at our trophy. And they're praising this false god, the god, Dagon. And they say, quote, listen what they say, quote, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. Quote, so it happened when their hearts were merry, that they said, quote, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them and they stationed him between the pillars. Now, when I read this today, guys, my spirit was so grieved within me because I'm going to bring it home here. Watch this. How many music artists How many performers and how many actors do we see come on out there in Hollywood and the music industry or whatever the case may be, and they once walked with God at a young age, or they were raised up in a Christian background, who eventually they got a taste of a sweet thing. Come on, they try to get something sweet out of a dead thing. Okay, and as a result, they turn from God, and then they begin to use the very gifts and the talents that God gave them, that were given to them by God to be used for the world and for the devil. See, I can go on. I could talk about Britney Spears. I could talk about Miley Cyrus. I could talk about Katy Perry. I could talk about Sam Kinison, who was a famous comedian. I could talk about a lot of people who had a relationship with God. They were raised in a Christian home. Come on, Whitney Houston, Michael John. I could go on and on and on. And I could talk about how the Bible says in Romans 11, 11:29, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, or they're without repentance. It wasn't the devil that anointed them. It wasn't the devil that gave them those gifts. It wasn't the devil that gave them those talents. It was the God of heaven. Let me say it like this, friend. They are using what God, they are using what was given to them from above to perform for the one below. Let me say that again. They're using the very gifts and talents that was given from above to perform for the one below. See, because here's Samson, who had a call of God, had an anointing of God, had the power of God, had the talent of God. He was called by God, and they said, come here, bring our trophy in here. Bring him in here. And they called for Samson that he may perform for us. So see, so the devil's sitting by. So I want to. I got to get this to you guys. I know. It grieves me when I see all these self-proclaimed, quote unquote, Christians, and they're always bashing Katy Perry, and they're always bashing these women and these men of God who's in the music industry, who are performers, who are musicians, or whatever the case may be, and they're always ridiculing them and bashing them. Friends, listen, why don't you pray for them? Why don't you intercede for them? Because I'm going to tell you something. I saw something the other day, and the Holy Spirit showed me this. Listen, I know I'm going to make some people mad right here, but Katy Perry, I know that recently she renounced her Christianity. I saw that. But you know, and I know she said some real stupid things, political correct stuff that she said recently. She got bashed for that. But I saw something that Katy Perry said on her Twitter that really sparked some interest to me, and that I believe the Holy Spirit showed me something. When the situation happened, in the UK with that concert, she tweeted out, I am praying for you. Now, hold on. Wait a minute, Katy. You said that you renounced your Christianity, but now you're saying, I'm going to pray for you. You know why that is, friend? I'm going to mess some people up. Because the Bible says that once you've been born again, and once the seed of God is in you, listen to me, you can run from God. You can go hide from God. You can try to get on a boat, Jonah, and sail as far as you can the other way. And you can just try to sleep it off, drink it off, snort it away, shoot it away, smoke it away, or sleep it away. But the Holy Spirit is always going to deal with you. You're going to be restless, and He's wrestling you, because the Bible says that wills that none perish, but all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, oh, I know. Listen, I've got personal friends of mine who backslid, who had a call of God on their life. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They were saved. But then one day they got real stupid because of a series of situations like Samson had, and they begin to turn away from God, and they begin to go back into drinking. They begin to go back into their lifestyle that God brought them out of. But here they are, and I remember I sat down with this individual, and he told me with his own mouth, he said, brother, he said, this is the strangest thing, but one night I went to a bar. He said, I wasn't even thinking about God. I was running from God. He said, I'm sitting there at the bar, and I'm sitting there drinking. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I mean, just like this, a strong presence of the anointing. I don't know who is watching this, but somebody, you're getting touched by the Holy Ghost right now. And tears are beginning to well up because I believe the Holy Ghost is wooing you and he's touching you. But see, this individual went to a bar and he didn't have God in mind. He was running from God and he was sitting there drinking alcohol, just shooting the breeze with people. And all of a sudden, he began to talk to people, and this guy began to talk. He was drinking, and this guy was telling him about how his wife just left him and left his family, and he was brokenhearted. And this guy over here just had something about he lost his job, and all of a sudden, this man who had a walk with God, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he was backslid. He was sitting there at a bar getting drunk. He said, when he began to hear these people begin to share their testimonies, or they're just venting to him, he said this compassion rose up in him, and he said all of a sudden he started praying for this man over here that was hurt because he lost his family that walked out on him, and he started praying for this man in a bar, and then all of a sudden he started crying and he started praying for this man over here. Guys, I'm telling you right now that you think you can run from God, and I don't care how deep in sin you are, Samson. I don't care. You may have been playing around in some dead things and you're trying to get some honey out of a dead carcass, and you say, well, brother, you don't know my situation. I'm deep in this thing. I'm over here, and I'm over here in a vineyard that I shouldn't be in, and I'm over here messing with the wrong people, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But guys, I'm gonna tell you, I've got good news for you. It looked bad for Samson. Yes, he lost his vision of God. Yes, he was bound, and yes, he became a trophy of the devil, and they had him going round and round and round. But the Bible says, here's what it says right here. It says in Judges 16:22, it says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again, and after that it had been shaven. And your Bible says in Judges 16:28-30, and then Samson called to the Lord. So here he is. Samson, something rose up on the inside of him. You got to picture this, guys. He's blind. They plucked his eyes out. He's blind. He's bound. And he's going round and round. And then he began to cry out to the Lord saying, quote, oh Lord God, remember me. I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once, oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Samson said, quote, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all of his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it, so that the dead that he killed, his death were more than he had killed in his life. And you say, well, wait a minute, that brother sounds like he committed suicide, so he had to split hell wide open. No, friend, because I'm going to tell you something, I didn't even have this on my notes, but I feel the Holy Ghost just drawing this out of me. And I know I'm going a little bit later, but that's all right, because we're ministering to somebody right now live on Facebook. See, there is people that you may know and that I know personally. See, I know the pastor that married me, the pastor who married my wife and I 17 years ago, his family got wrapped up. And they got wrapped into a cult leader who was, and I got to be careful here, but this man was a great influence in a certain denomination that I won't name, but this man began to practice polygamy. He began to practice all kinds of things. It was basically a cult, and he was leading people from their families. He was practicing polygamy. People's wives were leaving their husbands, and they were moving out of state, and they were following this guy, and word got around, and people were losing faith. People were hurt. People were offended at the church, offended at God. And the pastor who married me, his wife got tangled up in this mess, and he couldn't get a grip on it. He tried everything he could, but his own family left him. And as a result of it, it left him brokenhearted. It left him in despair, and he could not take it emotionally. And I did not want to talk about this, guys, but I feel at liberty to minister to somebody tonight. But the man who was a personal friend of mine, he was a man of God. He was a He was an evangelist. They found him hung. He hung himself. Now you're going to say, well, that man went to hell. No, I don't believe he did, because I wept for 3 days over this man. I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, I said, this was a man of God. How could you let this happen? How did this happen? And the Lord began to speak to me and he said, son, there's going to be people out there. And then this is when he showed me this scripture right here. He showed me, only God is the judge of mankind. Jesus Christ is the judge of men, and he alone knows the heart of man, and he knows the mental state of men. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. No one was there except for him and God. God knows, the Bible says that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to be tempted. Something snapped in his mind, but his heart was right with God, friends. Here is Samson. Here's Samson, who pulled the pillars down on himself and he took his own life. And you say, well, brother, he had to go to hell and split hell. Really? How come? Oh, I'm going to tell you what it says of Samson in the book of Hebrews. The Bible says, and what more shall I say? Paul, speaking of the men and women of faith, it says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to the flight of armies of the aliens. And it goes on and on and on. And the Bible says they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having promised something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. My point is that Samson made it in the hall of fame of the faith. He was one of the heroes of faith. So is he in heaven? Absolutely. Because again, friends, this is why I'm trying to tell you, guys, that Samson turned it around. Friend, listen to me, who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how dark it is. I don't know how dreaded it is. I don't know what you've been through. But I'm telling you, there's hope. Samson lost it all. Samson went through all of it, but there was hope. He got his strength back. He got his hair back. Friends, God can bring it all back. He can restore the anointing. He can restore your faith. He can restore your hope. He can restore your call. He can restore your marriage. He can restore your health. He can restore your purpose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Friends, we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to pray right now. I don't know who this is. Maybe this is what I felt earlier, guys. I felt a real strong anointing here. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this individual, God. And Lord, I pray that we would join together and we would not lift from praying until the burden is lifted, until we have interceded and touched heaven. And let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. We are going to intercede for this individual right now. And devil, you can't have him because he's a child of the Most High. In Jesus' name, we thank you that every chain is being broken, every oppression is being lifted, every devil in hell is being broken off of his life. God, if you sent an angel to Manoah and his family, surely you can send an angel of the Lord to this individual and deliver him. If you sent an angel to a lion's den and delivered Daniel from lions, from the mouth of lions, surely you can send an angel. If you sent an angel to go into the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fiery furnace, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I'm asking that you would do a supernatural intervention for this individual. Why? Because we love them and we care for them, and you love them and you have a plan for their life in Jesus' name. Guys, again, I know some of you are still interceding for that individual. If you're watching this by Facebook Live, please continue to intercede for them. Even when we go off the air, I want you to pray for them. And listen, I'm going to tell you, that's just like the devil. Is he wants to take something and he wants to contort it. He wants to twist it. He wants to make it something that it's not. Okay? And so we just rebuke that in Jesus' name. Okay? So, and I thank you, Father, that you're going to get the glory and you're going to get the glory out of this message. You're going to get the glory out of what the Holy Spirit is doing in people's lives and transforming. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are delivering people. You're setting people free. The anointing is coming back. Their strength is coming back. And Lord, I thank you that you're establishing their feet and their goings back on track in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right, guys, listen. We've went way over. I know we've gone almost an hour, and that's usually longer than we normally do. So again, I hope, guys, that this has related to you in some way. I hope this has been a blessing to someone out there that has got that this message really resonated to them. I pray that it exhorted them, it set them free, it gave them some understanding. Exactly. Thank you, guys. Just again, guys, keep interceding for this brother or the sister, whoever this was that was watching, and continue to do that. Again, we love you guys. Continue to intercede for myself, intercede for this ministry. Again, if you'd like to bless this ministry with your prayers, with your intercession, with your financial giving, I put the link up there on Facebook Live that you can do that. Again, we have a physical address. It's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, and the zip code is 47131. Again, that's our physical address. Again, if this is your community, your church, this is your church home, and this is where you get fed, you get exhorted, you get edified, and this is where you get blessed. We just ask that you be obedient to the Holy Spirit and you would sow into this ministry as it blesses you, because without your help, without your support, guys, we can't do what we're doing full time. So again, I appreciate you guys. And not only that, guys, but there's a blessing on it. Philippians 4 says, Paul said, he talks about this to the church of Philippi. He says, I seek the fruit on your account. Because when you give to the work of the kingdom of God, when you give to the ministry of God, when you give to the work of his kingdom, God blesses you in return. Listen, guys, for 17 years, God has never let me down. He's never failed me. He's always come through and he's blessed me. He's blessed me in our finances, in our resources, all the way around. And it's not just money, but he's taking care of us. Why? Because we have always sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, every penny that comes in through our ministry of End Time Headlines, when you guys give every penny, we tithe 10% out to the homeless, to the poor, to the widow, to the needy. We help feed, we help clothe, we help give water. We do all this. We give out to organizations that are trustworthy, that I know have a good reputation, that are doing that. Why? Because I want ETH, I want End Time Headlines to be blessed. So I'm not going to rob God. I'm not going to rob God of blessing his kingdom through this ministry, because I want this ministry to be blessed, it to expand and do the work of the kingdom. So again, guys, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Is where our main website is, and our website address and our link there. You can go subscribe, bookmark us, so you guys can keep up with what we're doing on the ministry. If you're watching by YouTube, please, you can follow us. We're on social networks all across the board. Anything, a major social network, you're going to find us. We're on Twitter. Our Twitter handle's at End Time Headlines. We're on Facebook. We're on Google Plus. We're on Pinterest, and we're on Instagram. If you're watching by Facebook, again, we're on all these other locations as well. I want to put up a link on you guys that are watching by Facebook Live. We do have a YouTube channel, so you can go and watch all the archived messages that you're seeing like this. They'll all be archived there for what you're for your convenience, that you can be blessed and fed. Again, all of our messages, guys, are free. We don't sell CDs. We don't sell DVDs. We don't sell books. We feed the sheep. And again, we just ask that what the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, you would just be obedient and sow back into the ministry. So we love you guys. God bless you. Remember, keep praying for those individuals that are on this Facebook Live feed. And this doesn't go for you guys on YouTube. But again, you heard what was going on. You guys continue to pray, but you guys here on Facebook Live, continue to pray and intercede, because this is a literal life and death situation, and we We want to intercede with this. So again, tomorrow's Friday. What does that mean? It means we're going to get on here tomorrow. I don't know the time, so don't. I know people ask what time. I have to play it by ear because, listen, I'm not only am I a pastor and not only do I run this full-time ministry, but I'm also a husband and I'm also a father of two young men. One is he's about 2 years of age. He'll be two in June. And my oldest is 9 years old, and tomorrow's his last day of school for the year. He's a little emotional for that, about that. So I've juggled between all that stuff. And when we get the opportunities, we'll come on here and we'll give you a heads up notice when we're going to do that. But we want you to come on here live, and we want you to present. When we get on here, we'll do about 45 minutes to an hour, kind of like tonight. And we want to give you an opportunity to present your prayer request, and we're going to pray for you live here, and people are going to join Matthew 18:19. If any two shall agree together in touching any one thing, we believe it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. So we've already started, guys. It's Thursday night, 10:02 p.m. Eastern, and it's not Friday, but we're already interceding for that dear brother, that dear sister who was on here earlier. And again, they talked about that a spirit of suicide was trying to lie to them to take their own life. And we know that that's not of God. That's of the kingdom of darkness, because we know that God has a plan for their lives, and it's of good, and to give them a future, and to give them a hope, and to give them an expected end. So I want to elaborate that before we get off here. And I believe most of you guys understand that. So we love you guys. God bless you. Have a good night, and we'll see you tomorrow.